So, Father, this morning, O Father, as I speak your word, I dedicate my mind, my lips, and my tongue, my eyes to you, Father God. And everything that I speak, Lord, let not come from my heart, but let it come from your heart. Let it be from your mouth, Lord, not from me. Everything of the flesh, I renounce it. Let our spirit take control today, this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It is a preaching that I promised you last week. I'll preach this week. But many of us pastors fret to preach this sometimes because it's not pleasing to the ears. It's a word called giving. Giving. How many of you like giving? Can you put your hands? Depends on what you give. You will put up your hand and say, yes, I like to give. What do you give? I like Brother Ang said sometimes back again, when they want to give to God, they become counselors for God, advisors for God. God, this is how you must do, and this is how the church must run, and this way it should run, and that's called advisory level of giving. So that advisory is easy and cheap to get. You can get hundreds and tons and tons and loads of giving to God. Amen? So today morning we want to preach something about it. I won't go too much onto the scriptures, and I think every week we hear scriptures. I've got scriptures here which is more than 100 scriptures here for you to know that the giving is good. But I'm not going to go through all of it. Let's get into a couple of things that God wants to give it to us today morning. I want to start with Romans this morning. Let's look at Romans. Romans 12, 8. Can somebody read quickly? Romans 12, 8. Romans 12, 8. What do you hear from there? What does Paul say? Brother, can you put up Romans 12, 8? He who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberty. He says, give with liberty. What is this exaltation we talked about? We talked about in the church camp a lot of things. And I think the Spirit of God was mighty in the place. And God spoke to us so many things that I myself have to recollect many times what I spoke. But God says when you exalt God, you have to exalt Him in any way, every way. Whether our lifestyle is exalting God or not. Our speech is exalting God or not. Last week I spoke about faith. What kind of faith we have. Is our lifestyle a faith-living lifestyle? Or is it a lifestyle that is not with faith, but just do faith when you need faith? Confess faith when you want to confess faith. Otherwise, you live a life of the normal people in the world. But Christians has got to shine out different from the normal people. Romans, he says, when you give liberty, with liberty. Liberty means what is liberty? If you find a similar word of liberty, you'll find also in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, verse 18. He says, Jesus came here with his mission to liberate people from the bondages, right? Liberate. That's the same liberty. Liberty means he gave freely. He came here, liberate people, free people. Same here, when you give freely, God gives you differently. The meaning in the Hebrew, the Greek word is the same, liberty. Now, when we talk about liberty, many of us ask, you know, many of us ask us, Pastor, you like to talk about, you know, somebody asked me, you have not spoken about tithes and giving and everything else. And I've got a problem, you know. When I was ministering to people in Saramban, there was one man, when he hears tithes, he walks out of the church very angrily. It's a true story. It's not a story. True event that happened. So much so he goes from one church to another church. I hope he's not listening to our videos from that day onwards. He goes from one church to another church. It's always a quarrel because of, not because of the word, not because of anything else, not because of the people, because of the word tithes. His belief is tithes in the Old Testament is tithes. In the New Testament, Jesus has abandoned, he has already completed the law, and so now you don't have to pay tithes. The tithes are supposed to be people are taking, especially the pastors are taking and greedily living with nice cars. That's his concept. So when you speak about tithes, he gets very angry. So I have to go and do the dirty job. Because the pastor didn't want to do it, so I have to go and do it. 3 weeks counseling, week after week, to say that, that is not tithes. Tithes is different what you are thinking of the way, the old methodology. God didn't, you have to show him scriptures. But I cannot use the word tithes. The moment I say tithes, he gets very angry. His face will become red. And it's difficult for our people to understand. People think that today, that tithes is something that you don't have to do nowadays. I will show you and I will tell you, my life changed when I started tithing. The day I started tithing, my life entirely, totally changed. All my life as a Catholic, I never tithed. When the day I came to know the Word of God, I went to the Catholic Church and I put the church an envelope, and that envelope said tithe, meaning the priest was shocked. Somebody, and he said in his sermon, somebody is practicing tithes in our church here. He comes and puts an envelope in the church envelope and he says tithes. So I want to make sure it's tithes, not the offering I'm giving. So my life changed entirely, totally. Brothers and sisters, many of us think tithe is something, or giving is something that we don't have to give. It's an option for a Christian. Giving is not an option for a Christian. It's a calling upon all Christians to give. As freely as he gave his life to us, we are supposed to give him back freely. That's what he called liberty. Amen? Now, what kind of giving you like to hear? I would like to see today few things I talk about giving. The way they give at that time. I won't go through so much of scriptures to bother you, but I want you to go and find. I know this is the church. It's a church of word. You'll know the word of God. Amen? 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 Amen. Wow, so soft. I know you all didn't have breakfast. If you speak louder, then your lunch will be better. All right? So, amen?
Amen?
Amen. Praise God. So today, we want to know, giving is not an option for Christians, but it is a calling for Christians to perform. It's a calling that God, that is not by choice, but is a calling. So we do not opt not to give, but it's not election that we can elect not to give, but it's a calling for all of us to do. Now, there are a few types of giving. When did the giving start? Is it during Moses' law? Because the scripture I'll talk to you about later talks about Jesus did everything else. He abandoned, he abolished all laws. Now, let's look at when did it start. Is it during the time of Moses' law? Oh, Genesis. From the beginning, huh? In the beginning itself was Genesis itself. In the beginning, Genesis is talks about in the beginning. Right? In the beginning. Before even laws came, before even Exodus came, in the beginning. So God has got a right for his tithes. He gave everything else. You'll find something in the Garden of Eden. There was no tithe paying. Was there tithe paying in the Garden of Eden? Hello? There was no tithe paying. But the moment man was asked to go out of Garden of Eden, and the man he was asked, you will toil the land and you will prosper. Is that right? So man was cast out from the Garden of Eden. From then on, the tithing started off. Okay? If you look at the first tithing, which is recorded there, you'll find first gift that given first is, number one, if you go back and see Genesis, you'll find chapter 4, if I'm mistaken. Let's see when. Chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 2. 3. And in the process of time came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and their fat, and of their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offerings. Amen. See, the first ever tithing is talked about, offering is given to about giving to God, is from Cain. The first man after the first generation of Abel. Is that right? Are we on track? So that was tithing. But you will find in the verse, there are two different things that is talked about. He says, now, Cain brought an offering. Is that right? Is that right? Can you read? Somebody read loud. That's very important. I want you to, because I'm going to go back later to ask you what was that. What did Cain bring? Fruits. But what did Abel bring? First what? Firstborn. Okay. So we'll start with two things. Number one. And later on you'll find in Deuteronomy, Leviticus, you'll find there are two offerings God asks of us. The first offering is number one, is called tithes. Tithes is called one tenth of whatever you have got has got to be given to tithes. To God. Amen? The second one is we are talk about first fruits. That is why the difference, you always ask me, why is that Cain's one didn't, God didn't like it and Abel's one liked it? Because his was the firstborn. And it was just fruits. The first fruit, not the first fruits. He just gave the fruits. Do you see the difference in word? You go back in the Hebrew word and you find it's the fruits. He didn't give the first fruits of the soil. Right? So the second offering is the first fruits. We'll talk about the tithes now. Tithes, is it, how is God commanding us to have tithes? When does tithe talked about? You know, when Abraham, even before the Mosaic law, Abraham tithe to somebody. Who is that person he's tithe to? Melchizedek. Melchizedek. Better hear it today very well about tithing. Huh? How many of you read the budget last few days? Yesterday I was driven by the Lord. I was supposed to prepare the message. And evening I told Sister J, leave the computer on. I want to see later. Well, later. I was looking for my message. I couldn't find. So when I was going through the internet, I said, looked at Star Online. And I pressed it and I saw tax relief for those who are giving to the house of worship. And also to schools of institution of normal, vernacular, and also missionary schools. Wow. So immediately quite a number of people said, oh, now on I must give receipts. So you want receipts? Start giving. And you'll get exemption from Malaysia. First time in the history of Malaysia that a tithe can be given as a tax exemption. Praise God. Glory to God. Only those things that the Muslims give is tax-free in this nation. If you look at your tax forms. All right? So glory to God. God is doing something in this nation. Hello? Amen to that. Amen to that. Before God shakes, God shows his promises. Amen. Before God shakes, God is showing the promises God has given to that. Go back and see Star Online, and there's a place there which says that tax relief for gifts to worship places. Places of worship and to schools. So from there, from now on, we want you to write in an envelope and you put there how much you give and we'll give you a receipt. Our church did not have always record people who are giving because it's supposed to be your free will. It's within you and God, not me and you. Right? Now, I don't want to know how much you give either. That is why we have a church member, somebody else take care of the gifts. I'm not interested because otherwise I'll have a mind of a man and I'll see this person give more, this person give less, and I might even minister to them according to your gift. I don't want that. All right? So I don't want to know how much you give. There'll be a few of them I'll appoint. They will issue the receipts and they will sign. I'll give them designation to sign the receipts for you all in future. Amen? So I will not sign anything. So I don't want to know how much you give. Giving tithes is important. He says that when he came to Melchizedek came and worshipped. When Melchizedek came after the war and in chapter 14, and Melchizedek came, the prince of what? Salem. Ah, king of Salem. Isn't that right? King of Salem came by and he brought bread and wine in verse 18. It says so. And then he blessed him. Who blessed him? Melchizedek blessed Abraham. And he said, blessed be the God of Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. If you read the gospel, you'll find Lot was taken by these five kings and they went away taking him and destroying Lot's people. And then Abraham went after them and there was a spoil he brought back. Right? The spoil he brought back. And this spoil, the first person who came is King of Salem. That's Melchizedek. Melchizedek, he offered him. Was there any law before this year saying that you must give tithes? Was there a declaration by God here saying, must give tithes? No. But what he did, he gave the tithes to the high priest. Melchizedek is called the high priest at that time. Very little is written about Melchizedek. But it's a call. He is called as a high priest. And you know what? The next thing is, Abraham took out his tithes and offered. The word of God written here is tithes. Didn't say anything else. And he gave him a tithe of all. A tithe of all he had. Not only the spoils, not only the things, but he gave a tithe of all. I pray God will give us an open understanding. From the beginning itself, God is given. Give it back unto God. Give it back unto God. Unless you give it back unto God, then your releasing of blessings will not come. In Deuteronomy 28, everybody wants to receive the blessings. Oh, I want the blessings. I want the blessings. I want the blessings. But before the word comes, he says, those who keep my commandments will receive this. That one they forget. They only take the blessings. They don't see the other words before that and after that. Hello? How many of us read the Bible and only read the blessings? We don't see anything else. You see, every blessing, God is calling you to, he's going to bless you, but he wants to see you right. It, what's the use of he giving you extra blessings when everybody else also being blessed by the Lord? When the sun shines, everybody gets a sun. When the rain falls, everybody gets rain, whether they are wicked or they are righteous or they are Christians or non-believers. So what is that he must give you? Something extra. You must give you extra because you've been righteous before him and keeping his commandments. Amen? Amen? So his commandments are important. His commandments is important and till today it's still important. Some of them say by grace and there is no it's abolishment of commandments. I'm telling you that you'll hear very soon that it's not all the commandments, but some commandments of sacrifice, sacrificial offering, that time was taken away. Amen? You'll find in Leviticus a lot of laws about how do you have sin offering, how do you have, you know, when you have to purify somebody, all those offerings taken away already. Right? Now, this tithe is important for us. Why? Because after that, you'll find in Leviticus, he says that, you know, every one of them, you count 10. Let's go and see. Leviticus 27, verse 30 onwards, you can read. Let's read from 30 onwards, Leviticus. Are you all in track with me? Excuse me. The last chapter of Leviticus. Are you there? Anyone over there? What is he saying? He says, and all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. And then he goes on. And concerning the tithe of the herd of the flock, whether passes under the rod, the tenth one shall be holy to the Lord. Everything that produces, everything that is from the ground, whatever you multiply in your hands, all will be one-tenth of it. God gives to, you give to God. And he says every cattle or every lamb or you have got anything, even donkeys you've got chicken or ducks, everything. He says, pass by, ask them to line up, pass by. The rod, and the tenth one is this. Tenth one is this. So God is given at a time that the giving of tithes is important because he says, unless you give something back to God, his blessings will not be released. That is why when the sister read just now, he says, he challenges you. You give me what you have to do to me and I will take care of it. And in Malachi also, he calls the people and he says, how you have stolen from me. You have stolen from me. How can you steal? How can you steal from God? Have you seen God? How many of you have seen God? Hello? No one's seen God. Neither have I. So if you've not seen God, how can we steal from God when we have not seen from God? If I want to steal from Sister Joyce, I must go to the house and take the handbag and run away. That is called stealing, is that right? So I must identify Joyce first, and then I go to the house where she stays, and I rob her and steal everything from her house and come back. That's called stealing. How can you steal without seeing somebody? Hello? Somebody tell me the government is still stealing from me without seeing me. Right? Is the government stealing from you? Censor this, huh? If somebody is stealing from me without seeing you, then he's really a thief. But anyway, any thief has got identified a person. Even then, you are identified by a name. You are identified by citizenship of this nation. If there is anything lost in us that is given away and somebody, the politicians or anybody else steals out, or the government puts up a law which steals away from man, and then here they are accountable because they see the people as a citizen. So you have to know a person before you steal. How can you steal without seeing him? That is why Malachi, he challenges you. How are you stealing? By not paying the tithes. Hello? He says, how are you stealing? By not paying what is due to him. Who do you pay to? Pastor James, lah. Ayo, this man, you see, he's wearing a nice batik today, lah. I told you what, last week I started one, this week another one. It's a beautiful one, you know, with all the things. I like the rose of Sharon here. That's the scent of the Lord, right? So I believe God is gives us, anyway, this I didn't buy from your tithesman. Right? This was given to me when I was preaching in Indonesia. So if you see the batiks, don't think that I took your money and I went and bought something else, okay? I don't touch this church money. I've got some people here all are watching on the money. I don't watch the money. Right? So if you have the money that you give, you feel that this church is not taking care of it, it's not your problem. It's not a problem. Do you know what is the accountability of a pastor? Do you all understand what's the accountability of a pastor when you're called to be a pastor, to be a shepherd for somebody? I'm accountable for every one of you coming in here in your spiritual welfare. I'm accountable for yourself being walking right. I'm accountable for teaching the word of God in the righteous way and the right word, according to the doctrine of God, according to the Holy Spirit as written, not according to my thoughts. What pleases me, I like to teach you. What doesn't please me, I don't teach you. Or what pleases you, I teach you so that you can give the money to me. It's an accountability, you know. And above all, every dollar you give into this man, every single cent you give to this church, even if it's 1 cent of this church, the church authorities are accountable to it when we meet God one day. You will ask me, on this month I gave so much of money, where did the money go to? Why did you took it for yourself? Remember, bear in mind, you go back and read about Levi, his children were not right. They took away the offerings of people and they took from themselves the meat. That's an offering. And they were killed by God. I don't want God to kill me like that. I want God to take me home. Amen? I don't want to be killed, but to be. So everybody who sits in the board of a church, you are accountable to the God for what you do and how you do and where you place the money. Amen? So responsibility is very high on the person. The higher you are, the higher the responsibility. More the responsibility. Amen? As a church member, come and go, it's easy. So don't worry about what happens to the church, whether they are funding it, they are driving Rolls Royce or Lamborghini, that's their problem. They have to see God and they have to answer to God. And James has got answer to God. I cannot escape from God. Right? So we cannot escape. God says 1/10 must be given. And 1/10 when it's given, he says when you keep the commandment, that's the commandment of God. When you keep the commandment, Deuteronomy 28 says, the Lord of blessing that is follows with you. Not only this, also many. That is why many challenges in the word of God saying that when you give to me, you're given to. Even Paul talks about it very clearly. Amen? So tithing is not something that is not. Has Jesus paid tithe? Has Jesus paid tithe? Where? How did he pay his tithes? Coin from the fish. He says, go, Peter, and fish. Out of the mouth of the fish, you'll have one coin. Take that money and give it, pay tax for yourself and also me. So both Peter and Jesus did not pay tax. So they have to pay the taxes or the gifts or the tithes back what they have to do. Amen? That was the tithes to the temple. Otherwise, you don't have, you can't enter into the temple. Jesus has to pay the tithes. If you go back and see the Hebrew laws at the time and the Mosaic laws they had, and you, before you enter into the God, you must buy the temple coin before you can buy your offerings. You have to get the temple coin, not your money, you know. Malaysian money cannot be accepted. It must go to that guys who are doing money changing, you must buy a temple coin. The temple priests and the money changers corrupted people, they came out with a new coin called temple coin. And you have to buy what is there, not what you bring. Amen? So that's how they were cheating. That's why Jesus was so angry with the people at the time. Right? So God says, if you want to give something, you must give freely to God, live with liberty. And as you give, God will pay you. There are many scriptures I can quote for you today about tithing. I don't have to. How many of you do not know about tithing? All of you know, isn't it? I'm sure you're paying your tithing, because I don't check. I don't know. You're within you and God. So tithing is one of those callings God has called us to tithe. Amen? What is the second gift giving to you must give to God? In Genesis it says, Cain gave fruits and Abel gave the firstborn. So the first fruits of your life you must give to God. You also find that in Leviticus. Right? You'll find that you have to give the first fruits to God. What is the first fruits? What is the first fruits? When I start working in my life, that's my first fruit. First salary. Hello, do you understand what I'm saying? If I were to toil the land and the first fruit, it's a banana, first one, that one I take it and give it to him, God. The first one offerings you must give as a first fruit offering to God. So many of them ask me, Father, Pastor, why do we have to give first fruits? God requires that. So that you'll find, I've seen people in business or even in workplace, when they gave their first fruits back to God, and their increase was higher, and they got promotion after promotion faster than the other persons in there. They supersede, they go on a highway. Because they said, God, I dedicate this money I received today, I give it back to you. Because it is from you, all good gifts come from you, and I give it back to you today. If the job I'm sitting here today, it's from you, I'm giving it back to you. If the land has been toiled, the first harvest I take, I give it to him. Amen? So God will always honor your gifts. God honors your gift. And he will multiply in your workplace. He'll multiply in the things that he has done. The first offering is very important. God's word is important. Amen? So the first fruits are important in our life. The second thing, third one which you'll give is free will gift. Where do you find free will gift in the Bible? After paying your tithes, I see some of you taking out every month you pay your tithes, and then you still take out a pocket, your wallet, and give it freely. Is that right? That's free will gift. You gave it because you want to give freely to God. Right? Where do you find in the Old Testament that a free will gift was given? When they built the temple of God, Moses, when he started building the Ark of the Covenant, remember? When he started building the Ark of the Covenant, he asked for them money, and they gave freely to the people. The people came out and gave freely to the God. When Solomon built the temple, people gave freely to God. When Nehemiah repaired the walls of, in Nehemiah you'll find, when he built the walls of, repaired the walls of Jerusalem, people gave freely to God. Amen? That's freely they give. For a purpose that they know it's for God. It's not for anything else. Amen? It's not for anything else. So what they do is, there was a purpose for building the temple of God. That was a free will God. Some of you have given, or some of you are still giving, or continuously giving, as a blessing come to you for the building of our church. We don't have a land yet, but we know one day we'll buy one. We'll have one. Alright? So that we can have one base, and then the rest all we'll have so many others outside. So you'll be sitting in some churches outside there, doing outreaches, and doing the work of God. Not sitting every day listening in. Our journey has to do something for God. Amen? So in the journey, we have to give the free will gift. The free will gift has been given. That is why the people be able to do more than what they needed. You'll find even the kings were not a king. You'll find the gospel were not Christian, not believers, not even believing in the Hebrew God. They also declared free will gifts. Amen? So they can give freely to the building of the temple and freely to the repair of the walls of the people. Nehemiah has got one more thing that he has done. Did he found and rebuked somebody and the people that at a time when the poverty was stricken in some of them, people were heavy in their burdens of paying the debts back to the brethren who lend money. He also said, write off those debts freely. Hello? He says, if you are a God-fearing man, a woman, you should write off the debts of the brethren who is suffering to pay you and don't have food to eat. So that fulfills the word of God says that in Luke, it says very clearly, when I was without clothing, did you give me clothing? When I was without food, did you give me food? When I was without a house, a shelter to stay, did you give me one? So when you give freely, not only for the church, but also for the things, the projects that you have, or you have seen somebody without a clothing, when you give freely to God, that's a free will gift, God. And God honors your free will gift. Amen? It's not a requirement, but God's requirement is, have you clothed me? Have you fed me? Have you given me a shelter when I was staying outside under the cold weather? At night you go and see some bridges, you'll find people staying under the bridges. Even in Kuala Lumpur you'll find them. Some of them are drug addicts. So we have to find shelter for them. We have to take them out from this place and bring them to some other place. There are pastors who are doing that ministry. Because I thought, Lord, I want to do that ministry. God says, James, don't touch that ministry. That's not your ministry. So God gives some people certain ministries, some to another person. So let's not go overboard. We might fail in the ministry if it's not a calling of God. Hello? Amen? So if it's not a calling of God, we don't do it. But we will be able to give them somebody, support somebody who does this work. Amen? Amen? So God is God's gift. The third gift is actually free will gift. Free will gift is important because God not only gives you for the building of the church or the workers of the church, the types are used for the workers of the church and the church requirements. And the church is also not supposed to keep the money. They're supposed to help out. So when we go to the place like in Sarawak, we expected from our mission money to use that money to help the people there to repair the church. That church was 5 years ago abandoned. And I want to tell you this. The last trip I went to Sarawak, I told you all that I was very angry with the pastors there and the people there. You're building buildings, but letting the poor people live poorly. So much so, the government has come up, the Department of the Government, I don't mind being recorded this, the Department of the Government openly goes and use religious teachers to bring Christians to another religion. And they go, why? They give them scholarship for studies. It's not a church doesn't have money. It's not a people does not have money. If they can build a big building with millions, surely they have money. Right? And the people, not only the children become a different religion, and the families become different religion, they get jobs. They get to come from that side to study university here. So understand the mind. We can't blame them because they are very simple people in the village. They live in jungle. They're simple-minded people. They go and harvest today, they eat today. Tomorrow no harvest, nothing to eat. That is why every day they go out to get something from the jungle, they can eat for 1 or 2 days and go out again and again or go fishing. Right? To get food for themselves. So the free will gift is very important. Even the tithes are supposed to be used for the people, and the missionary mission funds which is we've got in our church is for people like this, go out. There is a great happening now in northern part of Indonesia and northern part of Thailand. People are losing their houses. People who had normal houses every day, suddenly you see them, their clothes are floated away. Their things, the TV cannot be used. Everything is gone. Even some money they had probably in the wallet or somewhere, it's just sort of floated away in the floods. So God is asking us today to use that free will gift to go and bless these people so that they will not have a hardship in their life. Amen? So when you use free will gift to help people, God helps us back. God remembers that. Remember? The fourth kind of blessings that God has given is sacrificial gift. What is a sacrificial gift? Hello? What do you think about sacrificial gift? Where is it written, the sacrificial gift? Now I want you to take you to the place where the woman, that Lord saw her at the temple. This widow who was sitting there, and he came, very simple-hearted woman, and I want to take you to your attention to that place. This woman was not a woman, just a person who was sacrificing. You'll find it in Luke chapter 21, verse 41. This woman, as Jesus watched, and his word was very simple. He says, what this woman gave meant much more to God than the man who gave with abundance. Hers was a sacrificial gift because she gave it out of whatever she had, she gave. To give that money, that mite, one mite away to God's kingdom, at that time she put into the treasury of the temple, she wouldn't know the next meal she's going to have. Wouldn't know whether she's got children or not at home. That was a sacrificial gift. I want you to go back to Kings 1 Kings chapter 17. There was this man, a man of God. His name is Elijah. And God took out from where he was in Jerusalem, and he took him out from there, and he brought him to a place called Zarephath. In Zarephath, what he did, God did a marvelous work for him. He says, go and serve a widow who's about to die. And this widow had nothing much. She's got a son. And she has got a great large dough of, little bit of flour she had, the dough. She said, she went and picked up sticks to make the food and take poison and die. Because she can't stand the stress of a burden of creditors. She had creditors. She owes people money. Husband is not around. What should she do? She was picking up. And this man of God goes and says, woman, go to your house, make one small bun for me, one cake for me, and give it to me. And she tells her, look, young man, I know you are a God of man. I don't know whatever you are. You know, I only got a little bit of dough. What I'm doing is I'm going to eat my last meal with my son, and after that we're going to die. And you're asking, out of that, you ask me something to give you. It is sacrificial. Okay, now I die without a food. Right? She must have thought, you know, I will die without food. So she gave a small cake to this man of God, a sacrificial gift to the man of God. And that man of God turned the entire life of us around. Amen? That was a sacrificial gift. If you go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 18-19, you'll find, Paul says, the sacrificial gift you gave me was very nice smell, aroma, like an aroma to me. Amen? Did you find it? Did you find it? Are you somewhere? You're away from Philippians. You've got Filipinos here, no? You should be staying near to Philippians. And he says this, no? Indeed, I have all the abound, and all and abound, I am full, having received from Epaphroditus, the thing sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice. An acceptable sacrifice. Sacrificial gift becomes an aroma which is different from your tithes and everything else. Sometimes, you know, how do you give sacrificial gift? You'll find not only this woman went out of the substance, when always there was a sacrificial gift, there was a breakthrough. Hello? There was a supernatural breakthrough for everyone who gave a sacrificial gift. The church in Macedonia, Philippians, they were suffering. And the Macedonian church, you'll find, they gave a sacrificial gift out of their nothing. They don't have something for themselves. And Paul writes to Corinthians, he tells them, out of their substance, they have nothing. And yet he gave out of their nothing. Maybe they had a meal. Okay, now you have got two meals a day. One meal, give it to me so that we can support this man of God who is now doing some mission work somewhere. And out of that they gave. That was a great breakthrough to the Macedonian church. Brothers and sisters, sacrificial gift is the beginning of a breakthrough in your life. It's just the beginning of the breakthrough of your life. Amen? Whatever breakthroughs you are seeking, whether it's a seeking of a breakthrough, a spiritual breakthrough, or a breakthrough in your natural world, or finance, or your family, or whatever it is, that sacrificial gift will be a gift God will always remember. I remember this. Cornelius, chapter 10, book of Acts. You'll find this man, Cornelius, is a non-believer. He's not a believer of Christ. He doesn't know about Christ. But this man is a normal man, centurion in the place where I saw the place is so huge, massive place. Right? And this man had a visit from the angel of God. And the angel of God says, Cornelius, Cornelius, God has seen your gifts. God has seen the goods that you have done. Because of that, God says, now today, I want to bless you. Send some man to Joppa. Look for this man called Simon, the Peter, who lives in the tanner's house called Simon. Hello? I believe this centurion would have been a man of God, who believes in doing good things. He's not a man that he's just said, He didn't bother about the poor. I believe he must have had poor people in his house. And I believe you'll see that man of God, this man, though he didn't know God, he was doing something sacrifice away from normal people will do, not do. And that sacrifice became a monument before God. Amen? And God blessed him. Not only just blessed him in an abundance. Because the day when Peter came and spoke into the household, not only some of us, you know, Christians, we pray and pray and pray, you know, the Holy Spirit is not touching them. And that man, the Holy Spirit just fell on them, every one of them. That's a gift. That's a breakthrough of the spiritual, supernatural. Amen? Sacrificial gift. The other gift I know of, people who give. In the book of Acts, you'll find, in the first three chapters, you'll find people who are already seeing the witness of God, God's gift coming in their lives. That is God putting a seeding, a gift of seeding. What is a gift of seeding? You plant a seed for something that you do not have received yet. Amen? But I don't mean to say some of them have come to this church and told me, Pastor, I borrowed money and I planted a seed because this pastor told me and nothing is happening. A seed means not necessarily a seed that you have to give to people and you have to borrow money and give. What is your tithes? Tithes are not what you're supposed to receive, it's what you received. Hello? You got it? It's not what you're supposed to receive, but what you have received. Seeding is something that you plant, even a cent or a single dollar or even something that you give. You don't have money. You might even give a painting of yours. You made some painting. Give it to God. God, I give it this to you so that I can get the blessings that I want, what I want. I want to plant a seeding. I'll tell you about these people in the book of Acts. The word of God says, in those days, that people were not lacking anything. Why were they not lacking anything? Because people sold their possessions and brought the money and kept it at the feet of the apostles. Can we read that? Acts. It's very important for us to read. Let's go to the book of Acts. Are you all okay? How many of you are sleeping? How many of you are hungry? I'm glad no one is hungry here. In the book of Acts, you'll find people were not even in wanting. They were not in wanting. They were not in saying that, I've got everything else. I'm lacking this. I'm lacking that. No. God says in that book of Acts, you'll find men and women, they were filled. Why they were filled? Because God at the time gave whatever they needed. And that time, God gave them whatever they needed because they were willing to give it back to God. Amen. Even Barnabas, you see, you'll find that he himself also gave everything. Chapter 4, verse 32. Now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither did anyone say that any of the things he possessed was his own. But they had all things in common. And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Nor was there anyone among them who lacked, for all who were possessors of lands or houses, sold them and brought the proceeds of the things that were sold and laid them at the apostles' feet. And they distributed to each one as had need. Amen. And Joseph, who was also named Barnabas by the apostles, which is translated called encouragement, Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the feet of the apostles. Barnabas is talked about later with Paul. But even now, he made a official sacrifice and gave a gift to the Lord. Amen? Amen? So what they did was giving away. As the people, I went to a church in Philippines in the year 2006 or 2007, I can't remember. I think I told you all some of them. First time I experienced the faith of the people there. And I was in the Spirit of God as He was teaching, and I was releasing out some of the things that is meant for the people and the church of God. Suddenly, after saying all the blessings, as I was speaking the blessings, as it is coming out of my mouth, I see people running from everywhere, running and coming after me. Suddenly, I took few steps. I was without my shoes. And I said, Lord, what's happening? They're going to attack me? No, they're not going to attack me. What's going to happen to me? They ran all the way, you know. And immediately they put some money here, some money here. I said, what is happening here? And I remember one person took out a watch and kept the watch there. Rings. I was wondering, what is this? First time in my life I'm experienced. People rushing and instead of attacking me because I released the blessings, there was somebody putting something on the floor and on the pulpit. And I didn't understand what is that. I saw a lot of money, a lot of gold chain, gold, you know, rings, and you know, people were putting. I was wondering, what is this? That's when I understood the sealing. Hello? That's when I understood the word sealing. The seed you have planted, Paul talks about it. Alright? The seed you planted. Everyone, the word they received, it was for them. The spirit man said, it is theirs. Immediately they said, I claim it, Lord, and I'm going to seed. I'm going to plant a seed today, and I will receive that word you have said today. And this man of God who said this, I want to receive it, because surely it came from your mouth, and I want to take it today. And after everything, I went out, I asked him, Pastor, what is this? You know, I used the word, what nonsense is this? People coming and putting money on my pulpit where I'm preaching? That's not right. And he told me, he taught me about the seeding. Okay, I'm not clever, you know. I must learn from somebody. So God, that day, planted my heart. Then he went back to the word and saw the seed which is scattered upon the land and brings back the harvest. So the seed you put, the seed Jesus Christ was the seed for us. When he went down on earth, he died. Many people rose at the time. When he rose, everybody rose again to the kingdom of God. The same way when you plant a seed for what you want, don't go and borrow. That's wrong. What you have, even you have a cake, give it as a seed. Lord, I'm giving this today as a cake, as a seed. I don't have anything. I know what is released. I want this. And I want to take it. As a seed that they planted. And I believe the church people prospered many ways because of the word was released that day. Alright? And I remember in Yogyakarta the other day, as the word was being released, I could see people raising their hands and receiving the word. I can see them. Right? I was standing there and I was releasing the word which God was speaking. And everyone who was there knew how to receive it, quickly took their hands up and received it. There's an action to receive it. They were planting the seed into the spiritual realm and say, Lord, that word belongs to me. I claim it, Lord Jesus. Amen? A seed is important. A seed. Don't go and borrow money to pay seed thousands of ringgit. No. You're doing something wrong. Right? Seed is important. Another gift that people give in the Bible, I'm not giving you the scriptures today, okay? Another gift that gives to God, the most important gift that you can give to God is, as Abel was dead or martyred by Cain, Adam and Eve had one more child called Seth. And they offered him to the Lord. They offered him to the Lord. Hannah in Samuel 1, when she did not have a child, she cried as if she was a drunken woman in the temple of God. And Eli rebuked her. And the day she said, Lord, this blessing that you give me, I'll offer him back to you. Samuel was offered. Samson, from the day he was conceived, God told him, reserve this man. He's going to do something for the kingdom of God. No alcohol or anything else will ever enter the mouth of the woman who's carrying the child. And his head should not be shaved. And until the day God has preserved him, and he was offered to God, he did great things in God's kingdom. The man called John the Baptist got a woman who was old, Elizabeth, a barren woman. God gave something, and she gave him back to God. And you'll find the day when you see when John the Baptist was born, the father in Luke, you'll find when he started singing. The word of song that he sang and praised God and what his son will be. And that is an offering to God. When Jesus Christ came into this earth, when he was conceived in the mother, in the womb of Mary, by supernatural power, power of God, the Holy Spirit, it was an offering for God. So it can please God for the sins of all mankind. The offering that you can give is yourself. How many of us give offering of ourselves to God? We can give tithes. We can give everything else that you have, substance. When God calls you to do ministry, when God calls you to stand up in the place where you're working, when God calls you to be righteous where you are, when God calls you and say, no, child, I love you so much, you are an offering to me, don't do this. Do we hear God's word? The greatest offering that you can give above all the tithes is yourself. When you give yourself, every other things that I spoke about, the four offerings, five offerings, will all come into right positions. Because when you offer your mind, your heart, your lips, your entire self to you. Your soul, body, and spirit belongs to God. And God will make a vessel out of you. When God makes a vessel out of you, this greatest gift that you give will fulfill every other gift God is going to give you. Amen? The greatest gift that you give to yourself to God, that's a giving to God. When we say giving, people don't want to hear. It's a bad word. It's a word which should not be said. It's robbing the money away from you. But above all, have you given yourself? It's not money. It's your heart. It's your mind. It's your will. Your choices. Brothers and sisters, I can go on and give you a lot of scriptures. But scripture reading is not the thing that God wants from us. Reading the scripture you can read every day. But is it going up into your heart? Are we hearing? Are we listening? Remember we talked about launching into the deep. Peter heard what Jesus said, not listened. Right? And God wanted to see all of us here today, to hear God what he's giving. And he's giving to all of us. Every good blessings comes from the Father in heaven. There's nothing that you can take away from this world. Even the dressing that you wear, I'm blessed because of these dressings. It's somebody who gave this to me. Because God told them to give it to me. If somebody has given me something today, even my glasses I'm wearing, it is definitely from God. Because somebody, God has given that funds for me to buy that glasses. Even the hair cream I use every day, or the soap I use, it's a blessing from God. If it is not his blessing, I will not have of the soap. We take things for granted. We really take things for granted. The water we take from the tap is from God. There are many who do not have water. Brother Andrew told me that he showed me in the map in my office. He said, Pastor, this is the island. This is the island I want to look for. They don't have water. Drinking water. And we are lavishly drinking water here. It's a gift from God. What you have is a gift from God. Don't abuse gift in the name of grace. Don't abuse the gift of God in the name of grace. It's grace abound in me. That is why I can use what I want to use. I can do what I want in this world. Yes, but God is greater. He's watching us. What's your motive in your life? What's your motive? Giving should be our motive. It's good to take. It's easy to take. It's good for a man to take. But greater is a man who gives, or a woman who gives. Go and find the scripture. It's in the scriptures. God says, if you provide a glass of water to somebody, God also will bless you abundantly. Not anything else, a glass of water. A drinking water is missing there. If only we can send some bottles and bottles that we have got here so much to that island there, somebody can have some good drink. There won't be diarrhea. They won't have any sickness because of the floods. We are all the time self-conscious ourselves. I wouldn't use selfish anymore. Somebody said, no, Pastor, you said I'm selfish. Look at yourself first. Look at ourselves first. Whether we are abusing the gifts of God to us, whether tithing is important, whether giving the first fruits is important, is it a requirement? Because the word of God says very clearly, many of them say, Pastor, you know what? You see, Jesus has died for me. It's by the word. Paul says it very clearly. You go to Romans chapter 10 verse 4. Christ is the end of the law. Which law? Which law is that he's end of the law? Your sin offering law is abolished because he has taken away the sins of us. You don't have to go to the temple to buy something. That is why Jesus, when he said to the woman at the well, he said, if you don't understand what I mean today, God loves worshipers, those who worship in truth and in spirit. He says, I love worshipers. And you don't understand, woman, he says, you will not go to Jerusalem. Hello? Where is Jerusalem at the time? It's a temple. That's the only place people go and do sacrifice. Do you remember? The Hebrews at the time, the temple was the main temple. They must go to Jerusalem to do their offering. Wherever they are, they gather together and go yearly to do their offerings. Sin offering and every other offering. He said, don't have to go there. I've abolished that. Why do you go there? To do sin offering, to do other offerings. You go back and see Leviticus. Got so many different kind of offerings you must do. Even you give birth, you must purification day, you must go up after the purification day. And Jesus said, I've abolished all that. But he gave two commandments. The two commandments are still the same commandments of the Ten Commandments. And today God is asking us to draw closer to him. It's not about what in Paul said in Romans, said that Christ is the end of the law. Let's understand, what is the law? Is it the tithing law? Is it a giving law? He didn't abolish that. Hebrews chapter 8 verse 13 says, old is wiped out. Jesus satisfied everything else. And the new has come. What is the new? Hello? The old one is 10% was the maximum you have to pay as tithes. The new law says that, he says abolish that. He says the floodgates are open. Start from 10% and go up higher. Hello? Alright? No more 10% the maximum. Do you understand? That is what he says. The old thing is gone. So if you are a mindset, you know, I must give this much and after that do the rest all, then I think we are getting a wrong place. God says, I've abolished the law, but I didn't abolish your giving. Your giving depends on your heart. It depends on the choice you make in giving. So if your choice is not right, his gifts also is not right. Amen? God wants to bless us. God surely wants to bless us. Hallelujah? God wants to bless us. But new covenant says, start from 10%. Don't go below 10%. Go above. It's not to me, to the church, but to the people that God does work for the expansion of the kingdom of God. Amen? Proverbs 11, 24, 25 says that when you bless people, you will be also be receive the blessings from someone else. When you give free offering, free will offering, God will also bless you somewhere. Amen? The mystery of giving is receiving. The mystery of giving is receiving. When you give your life to God, God will bless you mightily. Your household will be well. The day this man, Abraham, gave his life, he heard God and he went on. His life entirely changed. Generations to come all changed. Why? Because of this one man of faith. Amen? He offered the first fruits of his, that's his son, Isaac, as his first fruit offering. And God said, I don't want this life. It's because you're willing, I don't want it. Amen? You're willing or not? Your heart is right or not? The mystery of giving. In the Macedonian church, I told you, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 5, verse 7. He says, verse 2 says, they had nothing to give, but they gave because out of the abundance they gave. Why? Because they had a heart to give. They did not believe in giving the 10%. They did not believe they have a limit. No, I don't have money, I don't give. Sometimes you receive a blessings. I've had received a blessings. I must thank God for the blessings God has given me. I had an old Volvo. I think you all know that. A very old Volvo when I was in business world. And I lost everything. And I had a very old, bone-shaking Volvo. Suddenly, one person from the church, after hearing the message one day, and went home, could not eat the lunch. They said, Lord, as you were preaching, Pastor, the Lord told me to bless you with a car. And then I went home. I said, I'll surprise Pastor next week. And the Lord told her, you shall not eat before telling the pastor and making a commitment to the pastor. She called me and said, Pastor, where are you now? I'm about to have my lunch. Oh, I couldn't eat because the Lord told me to tell you that I'm blessing you the car. Praise the Lord, I have the car till today. But I can't afford to give the value of the car. 10% is a lot of money for that value of the car. Right? I didn't have that money. So I said, Lord, I don't have that money in cash, but you've given me a gift of a whole car. What I have of my substance, I give you as a token to you, Lord. Amen? The car was valued about 45,000 ringgit, and I saw the purchase price. And I can't give 4,500 because my allowance was also not that much at the time. All right? So God says, you give a token. So at that point of time, when I received a gift, I gave a token. So I fulfilled what God wants to give it to me. Amen? Hello? Shalom? You understand what I'm saying? So giving out of your heart must be whether you're giving or not. Maybe that month you will go off lunch because God has blessed your car. Now you can go in air-conditioned car because my old Volvo was aircon was not working. So God has blessed you somewhere. So God, you give it back to God. Amen? One-tenth is not the New Testament. It doesn't start from one-tenth, but it goes on above. Leviticus 29:30-34, Deuteronomy 26. You go back and read all this. It's a limit. There is a limit. But here, the New Testament, there is no limit. Ephesians 2:14-5. He wiped the old out and created new in himself. When he creates new in himself, in Christ, everything that is renewed in you, you should be indebted to God. I'm indebted to God for my breath every day I breathe. Last Friday night when we had the overnight prayer, the touch of the Lord was so much. I went back home. I wanted to sleep. I couldn't sleep. Until morning, I was still awake yesterday morning. Why? The touch of the Lord. The presence of God. And you're still fresh the whole day. Yesterday, whole day, I was fresh. Because the touch of the Lord gives you freshness. Give you the things that God wants to give you. When you're indebted, you understand. Every day we get up, we are getting up so easily. We take life so for granted because we breathe. You don't understand. There are many people who can't breathe, who can't get up. There are many people who every day can't even move their legs or hands. They've got a pain. They're worried. Some people have got problems in their health when they get up. And we don't have that. Are you indebted? Because he's wiped off the old and you are new now in him. Are you indebted to him? Do you feel that he is the one who's ruling your life? Giving yourself is important. If you start giving yourself, and your tithes will be right. And everything else will be right. God promised so many things in life. Abundance. God promised abundance in our life. And God surely will give us the abundance. Not just God speaks something and don't fulfill. God is a God who keeps his word at all times. Amen? He keeps his word. What promise he gives you, he will always keep it. So today, my brothers and sisters, as we are about, I believe you're already making up your mind what to eat this afternoon. Before we go and eat, I'm not asking you to give anything. If you have given your tithes this morning, I'm happy for you giving the tithes. But if you still want to give today, a commitment that you want to give to God, that you feel that, you can go up and look for the person who is collecting and give it to them back. Put it in the box and go back. But I tell you this, every gift you give, God will bless you. As I said, before I left to Jakarta, Yogyakarta, I had a problem in my life. I received gifts from people, but sometimes I don't take sometimes. You'll find Moses restricted people from giving. You'll find Elisha, the man of God, when Naaman came, he gave a gift. He didn't take the gift. You follow what I'm saying? Sometimes, after giving, they will tell you they've given you so much, so much, so much. So God implanted my heart to give back. And I had to scratch everywhere and I give back what I was given to me. God spoke to me and I said, give it back. When I went to Jakarta, I was blessed more than double what I gave out. Because God always keeps his promises. When he says something, when you listen to him, God surely has got a plan for another one, which is greater than what he has given to you. It's a brief. When you give to the kingdom of God, even Levites, you go back and see, Levites had to pay tax. They have to bring back what they receive. They have to give tax. Even I have to give back to God what I receive from the allowance from this church. Even somebody blessed me and I say, I don't want. They still say, no, Pastor, this is for you. I will take it, but I will still have to pay tithes for that. Otherwise, it's not holy in my hands. You must understand that. So whatever you receive, it is, must be holy in your hands. So it will stay with you. It will remain with you because it is an offering to God. So that will multiply in your hands. Amen? Amen? So God, when you give into kingdom of God, don't say giving to the person, but you're giving to the person's ministry or the church. So don't have in mind that you must give it, oh, I must give this person so much. I've given the person and I keep an account of it, and he belongs to me. So whenever I want, he must be there. If that kind of mentality we have when we give, it's better not to give. It's not to give. I've been very clear in this church. Till today, I thank God for keeping me safe. In my business world, it was not good. But when I came to God, I understood God. God kept me clean. That's the reason why I know I don't want to touch money. One of the weaknesses of leaders of the church is money and woman or a spouse. These two are important for us to keep away when you need to keep away. Don't touch when you think you're weak in it. It's good for all of us. The Lord says, if you are faithful in little things, God will give us much more. It does not apply to only one sect of your life. Faithful in something, faithful in your family, faithful in your life, faithful in everything that we have, the substance God gives to you, God will surely multiply. God will surely give you higher and higher. If you are faithful in the things God has given you, if God has given you a business and you don't tithe, I want you to think today, you'll start tithing. I tell you, your business will never be the same again. You've been receiving and you've been tithing. I tell you this today, that you need to start tithing. Don't look at it. You don't want to tithe this church. Doesn't matter, because we don't keep record of tithes. I don't care where you're going to give. As long as you give, tithing somewhere, and God will bless you. As long as you're faithful in little things God has given to you today, and to command, says, one-tenth is yours minimum. And if you can't give much, it doesn't matter. Just one-tenth. And you give what God wants, and that is all the thing. I want to tell you this. Just now we read about Abraham. Abraham, the first king who came, was the king what? What's his king's name? Who met Abraham? King of Salem came. Who's the second man who came? We don't see that, huh? The second man who walked into Abraham's life. 14. The first man he came was the man called Melchizedek, king of Salem. Verse 21 says, now the king of Sodom said to Abraham, keep the money, but you give me the people. I preached about it before, what it means by people and money. If you don't give to God what is due to him, the prince of the earth, that is prince of darkness, will come and take away what is due to God, and he has the hand in your hands on your wealth because you have not given. See them. The way the Bible is written, you'll understand. First, King of Salem came, Melchizedek. Second came King of Sodom. What is Sodom? Hello, how many of you understood what is Sodom? Sodom and Gomorrah, what do you think? Nice city? Sin city. Okay, you've got that in the movies nowadays. Now, what city is that? Sin city. Who is the Lord and the prince of that city? Satan. So God has to destroy that city. Today, before you start giving, if you don't start giving, you'll find that you'll not receive, and somebody else will take it away from you. I pray, brothers and sisters, whatever you do, whatever you keep in your heart, whatever you keep in your life, and I pray today you will understand God's giving is from his grace and his love. And you give it back to him what is needed. Give your life to him, first of all. Your life is important to him. You can give to everything and your life is not right. Still, God doesn't accept it right. And I pray from today onwards that you will understand that God the Lord, our God, will give you everything that you want and bless you. And Deuteronomy has said, it's blessed you everything that you want in your life. And God will give you. But as long as you fulfill what he wants in him. Amen? Manage the money that is given to you. Manage the wealth that is given to you. Manage the people that is given to you. Your family, your wife, your children, your husband, children, your grandchildren. All of them. They are a asset to you. Amen? And I pray that you will pray, Lord, I give this smartest boy or the smartest girl in my church, that my family, to the kingdom of God. Serve God totally. Dedicate them. And God will bless all your children. Amen? Father, we just want to thank you, Father God, this morning. You are a God of blessings. Nothing that, Lord, you will take away from us. Lord, you always want to multiply in us. Now, thank you, Father, though, this morning. Tithing, first fruits, free will giving, sacrificial giving, and even, Lord, the seed that we plant in the promise that you've given us. We pray today, Father, that we, Lord, will above all give our lives to you, Father God. That, Lord, everything that we do, Lord, will be righteous. Lord, we want to thank you, Father God, the little thing that you've given in our lives, the little thing that you've given us, Father God, that we can be good stewards in it. We can be good leaders to manage what you've given us, that we can manage our family, manage our lives, manage even a father, the wealth that you've given us, the job that you've given us, the leadership you've given us in the society, that every little thing that you've given us, a father, that we'll be good stewards in it. That, Lord, we can come and face you and say, and you'll tell us, good and faithful servant. I thank you, Father, as we look forward to the reward in heaven. We pray, Father, your spirit will keep us all the time in the righteousness of yourself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.